And hi, I'm Nick Premer. I'm the policy analyst here at the WBA, the World Biogas Association. I'm here today with David Newman. David Newman is the outgoing president of the WBA, and he's been president for the last, over four years, and he's done an absolutely cracking job and moving on to new things. So today I'll just be asking him a few questions about the global biogas industry and how it's changed over his tenure. David, first up is how has the biogas industry changed during your time as president?
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for the kind words of introduction. You know, 5 years, 4 or 5 years is quite a short time to see sea changes. But what I have noted is the rapid rollout of large scale biogas operations, particularly in agricultural situations, and particularly in United States of America and in China. So we're seeing a lot more big scale on farm agriculture. AD sites using slurries, animal slurries as feedstocks. The other trend is, of course, to see a growing use of AD technologies to treat household food waste. And of course, with the upcoming boom in collections in food waste that we are predicting across the EU and the UK from 2023 onwards, I think that AD will be one of the great beneficiaries of that. We've seen also, and it's gone sort of under the radar, Nick, but a continual rollout of small-scale biogas, and these are particularly in the more rapidly developing economies, and we tend not to see these because they tend not to be counted, but they are in the millions, and they are bringing a little bit of heat, light, and cooking gas to millions and millions of families across the poorer countries of the world, and this is a really exciting development as well.
Are there any countries in particular you think are doing a stellar job, and other countries should look to as a key example, both in terms of, the global north and those big, large-scale projects that you mentioned, and also the smaller scale and the countries that are delivering that widespread rollout of smaller biogas units?
On the large scale installations, China, it tends to be under the radar because, they don't communicate very well with the outside world about what they're doing. But the amount of large-scale biogas operations being established and built on a daily basis in China is actually quite exciting. It's in the thousands. India is also doing a reasonable job in putting in biogas installations into treating agricultural wastes, although again we don't have a lot of data on that. But there's two or three very, very exciting examples of the use of the technology. I always go back to my former homeland, Italy, for how to do the treatment of household food waste right, combining AD with composting. So getting both the energy and the nutrients and the organic carbon out of the food and garden waste, and looking across the Atlantic at the United States in terms of the big scale agricultural installations. For the small scale, I think one of the things I enjoy most reading about when I'm on my LinkedIn media and other things is the rollout of small scale biogas in Africa. Uganda, Kenya, across the Sahel belt, and I've said many times how I was approached at a meeting by a group of representatives from Mali, Chad, and Burkina Faso, who said to me, how happy they are to install these small scale biogas installations, but less so for the energy. Paradoxically, they have a lot of heat in those countries. But more so for the use of the digestate, which is very important to them in these arid climates. So, you're seeing a whole range of installations for different sizes and different feedstocks. And I think that, we're just spoiled for choice, Nick, really, to see, where it's going well. It's going well more or less everywhere you look.
I think that's a really good point. Particularly in the sort of northern global north or Western Europe, that AD is often seen as just a generator of renewable energy, and that biogas is the is seen as the most valuable product. But like you say, the wider environmental benefits must be better recognised, and that provision of digestate as a renewable biofertilizer and all the other environmental benefits that come with it. So how do you think the biogas industry will change moving forwards and perhaps harness all of those wider environmental benefits?
The physicist and Nobel Prize winner Niels Bohr, a Dane many years ago, said making predictions is very difficult, especially if they're about the future. So I'm not going to be a hostage to the future by making wild predictions. But there do seem to be some trends, and these trends are two or three. Firstly, consolidation and increase in overall size of units. We're now seeing the biggest biogas installations treating up to a million tons a year. I mean, that's 3,000 tons a day of animal slurries, for example, in Denmark, or, you know, 600,000-700,000 tons a year of household food waste in Italy. And where we see these big scale plants, we see that there is therefore the financial strength to be able to do lots more than make just biogas, you know, turn it into biomethane, getting the outputs right in terms of the digestate, the compost, the nutrients, but also harvesting the CO2 and making that into industrial and commercial grade CO2 for resale into the drinks industry, for example. These scale of operations, I think, will become more common, particularly in and around the larger cities. And we will see that across the world. You know, we see in the United States now that many states are going towards a landfill ban on biodegradable materials and biodegradable wastes. And therefore, we will see those increasingly going into treatment. And, you know, where you've got cities of 3, 4, 5 million people, you can't handle that small scale. You need large scale. You need consolidation. You need all the technologies to be in one place and working together. So I think that's a trend. I think that the second trend is that you will see an increasing amount of movement and rapid movement into intercepting particularly household and commercial food wastes. It's the sort of low-hanging fruit of the waste industry. We've got our head around it finally in Europe and are beginning to do that on a wide scale. As I say, in America, we are beginning to see the first signs of that, America, Canada. And I think that we will start to see that treatment of household food waste across the globe on a bigger scale. Of course, household food waste brings its problems, doesn't it? It's not a homogeneous feedstock like, for example, you know, animal slurry or crop residues. It changes day to day. It has contaminants in it. People throw plastics and glass and aluminium cans in with their food waste. So it requires different treatment methodologies and more sophistication. But these are big volumes. I mean, you know, these, I think your own report estimated that it's in the region of about a billion tons of food waste a year. So that's exciting.
Absolutely. You know, there's, as you say, there's billions and billions of tons of waste that is being completely mismanaged at the moment. And there is this technology that not only treats it, but starts yielding these valuable resources, you know, your biogas and your digestate. So it really is a win-win industry. So moving forward as well to realize those ambitions that you mentioned, what are some of the biggest barriers preventing that growth?
You know, it's a common situation, which is not just the biogas industry, Nick. You know, across the globe, we've spent the last 200 years doing whatever we want with the natural resources that we have, and treating the outputs from those as we desire, without any thought to the environmental consequences, because that is the cheapest way of doing things. It's still cheaper in 70% of the world to throw our waste into a hole in the ground or into the river or into the ocean. And so we have to get the economics right. And the economics are about allocating our money to do the right thing. Now, we've done it on many things. You know, it was once upon a time, until very recently, acceptable for us to go and dump our wastes, even our nuclear wastes, into the Bay of Biscay, or our sewage sludge into the Northern Atlantic, or or even use the River Thames or the River Rhine as open sewers, and we learned that it was unacceptable from the point of view of our own health and the health of the environment around us, and so we invested in doing the right thing, and we have to invest now in doing the right thing for all these bio wastes. And that means taking them out of landfills, taking them out of incinerators, taking them out of open dumping or open burning, and put them into treatment. Now, that's not always going to be AD. In the poorer countries, that's often going to be composting. It doesn't matter. But where you can afford to do the right thing and get the energy and the biomass from that treatment and stop the methane gases going into the atmosphere, you will invest in biogas. And so, the countries that are best able to allocate money and move it quickly into biogas will be the ones which most benefit from that. So it's about allocation of our financial resources and how we decide how we want to live as a species going forward. And if we decide that actually, that the sort of the make, the take, make and dispose society which we live in is the right society to continue to live in, well, then we'll continue to throw all this stuff away. But if actually we see that 48 degrees centigrade temperatures in Canada and Siberia in the middle of the summer are not actually very healthy for us, well, then we have to decide to use that money differently and then allocate that to doing the right thing. And biogas is doing the right thing.
So anyone interested in finding out more about biogas, anaerobic digestion, waste management, what are some of the key resources people could take a look at and read up on and really get that crucial information to drive that change?
Well, I want to wave our own flag here a little bit, because the reports that you and the team have done over the years are really good, clear, simple to read, well designed. And they talk about the potential of the industry. They talk about its climate change mitigation potential. They talk about the role of the industry in terms of sustainable development, because don't forget, this is also a story about sustainable development and meeting those goals. And you can find all those reports on the website. And then, there's lots of market information which you can refer to on many countries around the world, see how they're developing and what the policies are. Outside of the stuff which you and the team have produced at WBA, of course, there's the International Energy Agency's report and the recent report on biomethane, which they presented in the conference just last week. And I think that really gives a clear indicator of the potential and the value of this industry going forward.
I completely agree with the plug of the WBA report. As the lead author on it, I certainly think, it's got some very interesting stats and data that could be useful for countries all around the world. So as a concluding remark, what would you say, David, to the world leaders and the policymakers around the world? And what message, what fundamental message would you give to them if you could speak to them right now?
Well, one of the things about being president of an international association like the WBA is that you actually do get sometimes to speak to policy leaders around the world. And this is one of the reasons why, if you're listening as a biogas industry player or as a national association anywhere in the world, this is why you should join the WBA, because it does have that access to policymakers, which you as a company or you as a national association probably will not have. So I've met many ministers over the course of this last 4 or 5 years, from Malaysia to Singapore through to Spain and of course here in Europe and at the European Commission and in North Africa, South Africa, etc. And my message to them is a constant one. There is no technological barrier anymore to doing any of the things that we know we need to do to get humanity through this century and into the next century in a safe place. And a safe place means keeping the climate within the Paris Agreement targets. It means the Sustainable Development Goals being achieved. And it means giving equal dignity to our people wherever they are across the planet and to the other species that live on the planet. We have no technological barriers to doing that. If we can fly a spacecraft to Mars, don't tell me that we can't solve climate change. Of course we can. What we need to be able to solve that is to look at the way in which you allocate taxpayers' money. And at the moment, this is still something which I cannot understand. We still allocate more taxpayers' money around the world to burning fossil fuels than we do to making renewable energy. Now, you don't need to be a genius to know that that is wrong. And my message to senior policymakers and politicians around the world is get that sorted out fast, because it is where you allocate taxpayers' money spending that is going to be decisive in the fight for our future.
Absolutely. Well, that concludes everything for today. Thank you so much, David Newman, both for your time today and your tenure as the World Biogas Association's president.
Thank you, Nick, and it's been a pleasure to work with you and all your colleagues. Thank you.